We will be receiving healings today. Alekarabasa, impartation by the Spirit of God today. Ekesheta yalango dodosa, ekarabasto predosa, ekadosa. Help, 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 help. Comes to us, Ekaya Lakataya Labosa. New perspective in the name of Jesus. New mindset in the name of Jesus. Ekiya Rakataya Rado. Eloso Polabosa. Our eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Hallelujah. It will be enlightened. Ekeyeka Rakataya Labosa. Endoloboso. Etaya Labosa. What we didn't see before, we will begin to see. Hallelujah. We will begin to see it. Ela sheta yela. Ekere gedosa karabosa. Mandele barakataya labosa. Endoroso ke yarabasa. Ekele nekia ragadosa. Come on, you're going to hear the voice of the Spirit today. Elira basa. Lekataya labosa. You would hear the voice of the Spirit today. Nudging you. Speaking to you. Ekia la kasasa yele kotoya. Ekere gedosa. You will receive answers today. Glory to God. Eya talaba sakata. Eloko shiba rakate yelene. Mandaraba sota. I'd like you to know that you didn't come here to waste your time. You came here to be impacted. You came here. You came here. You came here. You came here to be blessed. Ekei karakataya. If you're online, we'd like you to stay connected. Stay connected with us. Ekia Matoye, Esotoye Kadaya Ladeza, Lenana Shataya Laboso. We speak to God and not to man. 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 We receive from God tonight. Elisha Taya Laboso, Mandele Boso Toye Legadosa. To be in the service tonight and mix every word with faith. Hallelujah. That's all we're gonna receive. That's all we're gonna get blessed and never leave there the same way we came. I like you to say, I'm mixing every word with faith. I've got faith. I've got faith. We came with a bucket tonight. We came. We came to receive tonight. We came with our hearts tonight. We are mixing every word with faith, with faith, with faith in our hearts, with faith in our hearts, with faith in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. We receive God's word, we receive God's word, and it does us good. Hallelujah! It does us good. We receive God's word, it does us well. We receive God's word. We receive God's word. Elekotoya labosa. Whether the minister of the word giving us the word tonight says something about your case or not, I'd like you to know that you came to meet with God. You came to meet with God. And we have testimony by the word of God. Hallelujah. We've got testimony by the word tonight. Hallelujah. We've got testimony by the word tonight. Did you come here with a set expectation in your heart? Maybe you didn't. Develop one. Develop one. Oh, glory to God. Bible says the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Hey, God, asakata yena rosa. Go ahead and thank him tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. Every expectation and more will be received tonight. Oh, we will receive all and more tonight. All and more tonight. If you're online, all and more tonight. Glory to God. All and
evening, wherever you are, just lift your hands. Consciously just lift your hands in adoration, in worship. Just say, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. For you have fought for me, defeated death for me, the weight of sin you've carried for me. For you have fought for me, defeated death for me, the weight of sin you've carried it. Just for me, your never-ending love, what you came for us, is far more greater than anything. Your never-ending love, what you gave, you gave for us, it's far more greater. It is greater than anything. Come and sing with me. For you have fought for me, defeated death for me, weight of sin you carried for me. You're never ending, never ending love. What you gave for us, one more time, say, for you, wherever you are, just lift your voices. You defeated it for us. You carried it. You carried it for me. You never ended love. What you gave for us is far more greater. Far more greater. Jesus, let it rise from your heart. We give you glory, oh God. We give you glory. Come on, sing to him this evening. Let it rise, let it rise. We give you glory. Hey, hey, we give you glory. You can. one voice, we give you glory. Your voice and just worship our Father. We give you glory. We give you glory. It doesn't matter where you are, we give you glory. Just lift your voices. We give you glory.
Hallelujah. I was looking for green light, not red. Oh, good evening. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Oh, I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever, love you forever, I love you. Oh, we love you, we honor you and praise you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the influence of your Spirit. Thank you for the influence of your Word. Thank you, Father, for the impact of your Spirit. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, good evening here and good morning, afternoon, night, wherever else you might be streaming from. Praise God. I believe it's a good evening or it's a great day. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, and it's amazing. It's amazing how that the entrance of the word giveth light. So it's amazing how much light shows up as we keep allowing the Word, as we gaze, you know, into God's Word. And I trust God for mighty illumination in this place today. Great and mighty. Please be seated. Praise God. So, online, on-site, we're going to have a great time. I really appreciate everybody making it out. It's Sunday evening, you know, last month we had a pastor come all the way from Ibadan. He's here again this evening. Pastor Dominion from Ibadan. Thank you. And Pastor Jumon drew from Abeokuta. I mean, it's amazing. We had a pastor from Ikorodu. I think he might still be on his. I mean, people are. So it's fun. And everybody, you know, saying I'm streaming. Have you ever heard a tape and you were so blessed? You were not at the meeting, it was a tape. Alright, so back then it was cassettes and our lives were really like greatly impacted. So it means that the same anointing is present even when you're streaming. Praise God. Alright, so it's wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. You know, there might be other ministry gifts in the house. I appreciate your presence. Glory to God. There are usually many ministry gifts in us. I just thought of mentioning this out of town as way out of town. And it's good. We'll pick it from the sixth verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. There is something about the mind and the will of God. So 1 Corinthians 2:6, say in the name of Jesus. I declare that I have illumination. I have revelation. I have understanding. The word of God is clear to me right now. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom amongst those that are mature, even the wisdom of this age, which not the rulers of the world, or I knew nothing about. So I'm going to take it down to the 12th verse, okay? Verse 7 says, we speak this wisdom in a mystery, all right? Even the hidden wisdom, which was ordained before the ages or before the foundation of the world unto our glory. So I want you to get something here. There is a wisdom of God, and that wisdom has been ordained by God unto our glory, and the wisdom was ordained before the foundation of the world. The wisdom was ordained before the foundation of the world. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified who? The Lord of glory. Verse 9, we know verse 9. But as it is written, what's written? I has not seen, neither hear heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. And I'm sure there's a lover of God listening, watching, seated here right now. Eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of any man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But the good news is that there's no full stop in the statement there. I'm sure what I'm saying is you can find full stop there in King James. But God's not done talking. Next verse, verse 10. Starts with what word? But, so eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But changes the narrative. So it says, but God will, is going to, might, if we pray and fast very well. No, it says, but God has what? Revealed them, these things to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches what? All things. Yes! The deep things of God. So there are deep thoughts, deep insights, deep things in the mind of God. These things are referred to as mysteries, but they don't remain as mysteries. Please understand this. They are referred to as mysteries, but they don't remain. A mystery is something hidden. So when we say, oh, it is a mystery, may I say, God is not interested in keeping things as mysteries. Please understand that. God is not it doesn't give him joy to keep hiding something. Because God is in the business of revealing things. So Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened by God giving you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. So God wants to reveal things. God needs you to know. God needs you to understand. God needs you to come into a full understanding of what he's made available. So God wants you to know. So verse 10 there says, but God has revealed these things unto us by the Spirit. So the Spirit is the revealer. I want you to follow me, please. So, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows nobody except who? So, verse 10 says there are deep things in the mind of God. Only the Holy Ghost can get them out. He's the one that knows them, and God reveals things to us by his Spirit, and he has revealed things to us by his Spirit. So, 10. 11 says, nobody knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man. Nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So verse 10 says, the Holy Ghost is the revealer of the deep things of God. Verse 11 says, the Holy Ghost is the one that knows the mind of God. Are we clear on this too? We'll do that again. Verse 10 says, the Holy Ghost is the revealer of the deep things in the mind of God. The Holy Ghost is the one that knows the mind of God. Now you might say, but yeah, it's obvious. What's the big deal about it? That's the point. Things don't have to be deep to be spiritual. That's the point. Because it's the simplicity of the gospel. It's not in me really sounding like very, very high. No. Verse 4. Let me show you verse 4. Now, verse 4 is communicating something, but also connected. It says, my speech and my preaching were not with the what? Enticing men of man's wisdom, but in what? The demonstration of spirit and power. So he's saying it's not just enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, I mean, sounding spiritually deep is not enticing words of man's wisdom. That's like, you know, maybe motivation and psychology and philosophy and all of that. All right. But I'm saying it's not until it's deep. Jesus Christ died for you. It's simple. But in the simplicity of that is where your healing is. In the simplicity of that is where prosperity is. It's in the simplicity of that where protection is. It's in the simplicity of that. You know, because we're always looking for the new stuff. We don't understand the old stuff. And the old stuff is not old stuff. It's the same thing that was in the beginning that God still wants us to understand. I'm building a case. All right. So, verse 10 says, the Holy Ghost reveals the mind of God. Verse 11 says, the Holy Ghost knows the mind of God. Verse 12 now says, now we have what? Received. Say, I have received. Say it again. I have received. Now, wherever you might be watching or listening, just say with us again. I have received. All right. So, I have received. What have I received? I have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is where? From God was the last part, that I may know the things that have been. Two important things in this verse. Number one, you have received. Who did you receive or what did you receive? You received the Holy Ghost. So who is the Holy Ghost? Verse 10. The Holy Ghost is the one that reveals the mind of God. Verse 11, the Holy Ghost is the one that knows the mind of God. So when you received, who did you receive? You received the one that knows the mind of God and reveals the mind of God. It's that simple. And it's clear here in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we may what? Know. He knows the mind of God. He reveals the mind of God. So his job in your life is to do what? To make you know. Know what? The things that will be freely given to you by God. Notice the tenses. The things that might be freely given to you by God. But the things that have been. So the strength of a believer, or the key to a believer walking in victory, is in knowing who you are. Knowing what you are. And knowing what you have. A believer's walk of victory is hinged in knowing who you are. Knowing what you are, knowing what you have. I won't get too far into this. I'll push all that into next month. Okay, so that means there's next month. Knowing who you are, what you are, what you have. Because we spend most of our Christian lives, most of our prayer times, trying to get from God what God has already given unto us. So, you know, now, because it's the influence of the Spirit, even me, all right, there's what we call Holy Ghost meetings and all of that, all right, just in case you don't know what it is, you know, it's just, you know, those kinds of meetings where there's free flow, demonstrations of the Spirit, laying on the hands, you know, and then manifestations and wild Holy Ghost parties. Okay, what's Holy Ghost party? All right, I'm trying not to use our normal language. I mean, when we just allow a free expression, operation, and demonstration of Spirit. But I love how Ken Hagin always defined a Holy Ghost meeting. His first definition is that a Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting where the Word of God is preached and taught. First definition, all the time. Ken Hagin's first definition, all the time. Why? The assignment of the Spirit is to do what? Make you know. So the Holy Ghost is a communicator. The Holy Ghost transforms by communication. You would realize that Jesus spent more time, in fact, you have more record, you have very like teeny weeny bitty record, all right, of the other, but he spent more time teaching than laying hands on people. Spent more time teaching than praying. In the book of Mark, when he went to his hometown and they didn't receive him, he didn't pray. What did he do? He went about the villages teaching. So the church of Jesus has to embrace teaching. You have to embrace the place for it, because that's how you're going to develop. That's how you're going to grow. I'm building a case. He's influenced of his spirit. So how's he influencing us? You're going to walk away with greater revelation. Oh, and what revelation does is it will give to you what no other person can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we have received. Say, I have received. Not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God, so that I will know the things that have been freely given to me, oh God. Now, act like you're talking to yourself. And those of you watching and listening, if you can, where you are, you could do that too. If nobody wonder what's going on with you. Tell yourself, some things have been freely given to me. Okay, so I do that when I'm meditating. He said, I will know the things freely given to me. That means things have been freely given to me. Freely given to me. They are not just given to me, they were given to me how? Freely. We're breaking it down. Certain things have been given to me and they were given to me freely. It means that I'm not expected to do too much to get it. It's already been given. All I need to do is know. That means between the Holy Ghost teaching me and me coming to God's Word, I will come to know what these things are. But my job is to give room to the Holy Ghost to reveal to me the things that have been freely given to me. Praise God. So, you know, last month, we got talking and, you know, we swung into health a little bit. You know, maybe you've heard people say things like, and you might have heard me say, you find many believers praying, oh God, heal me, oh God, heal me, oh God, when are you going to heal me, when are you going to heal me? Healing is not a promise, healing has been fulfilled. We're going to spend a bit of time on that today. Because there are Bible ways of getting healed. Mark 16, for instance, says you will lay hands on the sick. They'll recover, so you can get healed by a fellow believer laying hands on you. Alright? You could get healed also by the elders laying hands on you. So that's in James chapter 5. Is any sick amongst you? Let him call for the elders of the church. You get healed through the prayer of agreement. You could get healed through the gifts of healing from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts of healing, of miracles, and of faith. There are Bible ways to receive healing. But one that can work and will work irrespective of who's around you, who's available to pray with you, irrespective of whatever gift of healing or gift of spirit is in manifestation or not, the one that would work 100% of the time is the healing you initiate by yourself. Issue is, it is a process, but a new generation is arising that does not understand the process. So we find things happening, believers being weak and sickly and some dying, and then, what is their process? Because the easiest thing we know to do, we could call. You know, I've had a friend a number of years ago, passed on, a brother. You know, brother like brother in Christ. But I remember my wife and I went to visit him at the hospital. And I remember back then, when, you know, you're asking how he's doing, he said, I'm fine and I know I'm going to get better because, and he calls the names of this minister has prayed for me and that, and it's, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all is wrong with it. However, it's not everybody that goes to a crusade that comes back healed. It's not everybody that goes to a healing meeting that comes back healed. Some even get healed and a few days or weeks after, they seem to lose their healing. So you find people saying that some of those, healings are not real. They are not sustainable. They are not authentic. It was just psychosomasis. You know, the sickness was triggered by some mental state and then they were able to rearrange or realign something in their minds and the sickness. No, come on. We know the origin of sickness and disease. It's the devil. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So sickness is satanic oppression. Part of the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28 is sickness. Boil and fever and scab and madness and shortness of, it's all lined up there. But the church, is very lenient now with sickness. But we do not know that we are being lenient with the work of the devil. Who heard what I just said? There's leniency. Oh, how are you feeling? I'm not okay. Oh, sorry. Get well soon. Hope you'll be okay. That thing not working, that person could hurt the person. That thing not working, the person could kill the person. And then we are lenient. We're social about it. You even find people taking pictures from hospital bed. Oh, pray for me. You could gather 10 million people to pray for you and nothing might happen. We have to train ourselves all over again of how to lay hold on this thing because it has been freely given to you. We're not convincing God to heal us. And understand that pain. That feeling where, it might have happened to one or two of us here before. A loved one is not feeling well. Things are so bad. You wish that God could take away the pain off that person and put it on you. Anybody been there before? You love the person so much, you could say, God, put it on me. God loved you so much, he put it on Jesus. So what has been put on Jesus needs not to be put on anybody else again. So when you are there feeling, God, can you just put it on me? No, remind yourself, somebody carried this thing away. And if one person carried it, nobody needs to carry it. Why carry load that is not yours? If it were a good load, we'll say it's okay. But it's something from the devil. It's an effect of the fall of Adam. Run through the body of Christ. Many of us, not seeing one thing or the other. This my ulcer. This my asthma. This my backache. Oh, this my body pain. Oh. We're not it. That thing doesn't belong to you. Send it back to where it came from. And I don't mean village people. Hope you understand village people. But we have new village people because we're in Zion. So our village people are Zionites. Alright? But listen, you might be in Zion, but your mind is in your physical village. So you'll be experiencing what your physical village people experience. Alright? You've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You could be so delivered, but your mind is yet to be delivered. I find most Christians running around saying, please come and deliver me. You have been delivered. What you need is a revelation of what has been freely given to you. The devil knows you were delivered. Jesus beat him blue black for your sake. God knows you were delivered. Jesus knows he delivered you. But one person doesn't know. Usually us. And my people are destroyed because they don't know. So we'd rather, someone just waves hands on us and blesses us. We would rather just someone blows on us. And those things are wonderful. They are great. I minister to people. I lay hands. I pray. But you will know that it can only go so far sometimes. There's a time where it's only that person's faith that can sustain the person beyond that. Your own faith. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Your own faith. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Certain things have been freely given to us. The new creation is not a beggar. The new creation is not a beggar. Oh God, don't forget me. Oh God. He said, I have engraven you upon the palm of my hands. Talk to him right. Your walls are continually before him. Ephesians 1 says you have been accepted in the beloved. Spend time declaring who you are. This is me. God is singing over me. God is excited about me. God loves me. God is so thrilled around me. God, I don't know. My life just does not have favor. You are looking at the wrong person. Or you are looking at yourself the wrong way. Because everybody in Christ has favor. A whole you. As in you. You that you were raised up together with Him. You who were made to sit together with Him. You who are not sitting with angels. You are not sitting with the 24 elders. Get your worship correct though. Am I talking to someone here? You are not sitting with angels. You are not sitting with the 24 elders though. You are sitting together with Him. Because in worship, we always try to worship with the angels. Worship with the, get away from the angels and sit beside Him. And worship from your seat. You worship. You understand that? I'm not now saying nothing. I'm saying me too. I'm receiving worship. Get out of there. But hope you get my point. He elevated you. Hebrews 4:16 says, come humbly. Is that what he said? He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. But then we sing songs and say, oh, we come humbly before you. There's no scripture for that. You come boldly. You need to be tweaking most of his songs. Oh, Jesus, you are the cup that never runs dry. Jesus is not a cup. If anybody has container and cup, it's you. My cup runs over. So he fills your cup. He is not cup. I'm only saying, put these things in their perspective. Is that all right? It's not a show of, we know what. No, it's just put it in its perspective. When you talk to him, I mean, one song I enjoyed so much growing up, you know, there is no higher calling, oh no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. So the highest calling is to bow and kneel. And who sing it down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most high. Something is wrong with the statement. Down at his feet is the most high place. And I get the point. You're trying to say when you humble yourself in prayer and in worship, you're elevated. But he said, come and sit beside me. So right by my side is the most high place. Because Jesus resurrected and God put him in the highest place. And that's where you are. Question, what did you do to get to that seat? Freely given. Somebody had to become man. He didn't have a business being man, but he became man. Alright? Walked through the streets of Galilee like a man. Grew up like a man. They spat on him, slapped him, put crowns of thorns on his head. They crucified him. He died. He did all that. Defeated the devil and all his cohorts. And Bible says God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. So he went through all that to get a name. To do what? He got a name to give you to use. Free. He went through everything he went through. Shed blood. Rose up to sit down. Why is he sitting? So that you can sit. He did everything not for himself but for you. He was already okay. He came because of you. So we have to spend time looking at what has been freely given. Freely. Freely given. Freely given. Are you getting that now? I've been looking at that face once more, so I think I've seen the face well now, okay? Praise God. You're welcome. Say freely given. Say freely given. Freely given. But really, let's stay a bit on that seat. Try and picture when Jesus entered into heaven. So we could play with Psalm 24, maybe. Lift up your heads, O ye gates! And be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. They say, who's coming? It's the King of glory. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty and battle. Lift up your heads. Why? Someone is coming. Eh? Cherubim. Someone is coming. Someone is coming. And then he enters. And all heaven hail. He's the one coming from Bozrah with his garment dyed with red. He's been to where nobody else could be, to did what nobody else could do, walked where even angels, I mean, all those, you know, you have to, he's coming. And then the Lord said to him, sit at my right hand till your enemies become your footstool. So he sits. The Bible said even as high priest, after he had purged our sins, he sat down. So he sat. So he's sitting. Angels are like, the 24 others, everybody like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, he, oh wow, oh, oh. You know, get so star-studded. I mean, it's just foolish when you get star-studded with a human being. You don't even know what you look like in the realm of spirit. I've seen you, I've seen you. You're fainting inside concert. Who did you see? Jesus? No. And people in that concert, they are believers. They go to church. Some of them are choir members and ushers. And they are taking picture. I met one of my five personalities today, celebrities. And that guy or lady might be not born again. So if we do an x-ray, you know, x-ray shows the inside of the picture. I mean, of the person. So do an x-ray. You are glowing in the picture. That person is dark and black. Listen to me. We take an x-ray of the two of you, you and that, your celebrity. You are glowing with the power of God. Glowing with the glory of God. That person is just black inside the picture. We can't see him. Because Jesus told them in the book of John, you are of your father, the devil. So any person not born again is of his father, the devil, of her father. And then, oh, my father, celebrity. That person is black in the realm of the spirit. The person doesn't have a name registered in the family of God. No name in the kingdom, no name anywhere. And that is your pow. It is a misdirection of focus. That person is black in the realm of the spirit. You are seated in heavenly places. That person is far on the way to hell. And that's our father, celebrity. We need to rethink this thing. Is there music you listen to? Is there Instagram pages you spend time on? We need to rethink this thing. They're on their way to hell. And when they die, they go to hell. Fav, celebrity, we're confused if we're not careful. But I was saying, so, oh my God, he's seated. Oh, he's seated. Then they begin to look. It's as if someone has seen that sitting there. Then they now see you. Excuse me. How did you get to that chair? I was crucified together with Christ. I died together with him. Yeah, I was buried with him then. I was made alive together with him then. I realized I was resurrected together with him, then I realized I was made to sit. I was made to sit. Because Ephesians says, and he brings us up together with him and made us. But we didn't sit. He made us sit. So I didn't get there by my work. I didn't get there by my effort. I got there because someone made me. He made me sit. I realized I was sitting. Then you now come away from there and say, down at your feet. No. Someone made you sit. You honor him by taking your position. You honor him by knowing I'm sitting. I found myself here, but I'm here. Then let me act like I knew how I got here. How do I know how I got there? You go to the Word and find out how you got here. Someone paid the price and put you there. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies footstool. How will the enemies be footstool? The church is the body. He is the head. So we are the ones with the foot to trample over the devil. So he's waiting for us to exert our authority. He's waiting for us to exert authority. He's waiting. I've been made. Oh, come on. Anybody wants to meditate on that for a few minutes? I've been made to sit. I didn't sit. I didn't come to take it. No, I was made to sit. I was made to sit. I mean, the way you make a car, the car did not make itself. You make it. You build. You manufacture. I was made to sit. I'm sitting. So I'm going to enjoy this chair. Not while it lasts, because it's lasting forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have to give attention to what has been freely given. So be careful with your prayers. Always asking God, God, when will you do? God, when will you do? Why haven't you done? Will you not do? Do now, God, do. And you're spending time on doing, you've forgotten what has been done. And Philemon 1, verse 6, well, it's only one chapter, but we still sometimes say one. That means just one chapter. Anyway, says that the communication of your faith will become effective by you acknowledging every good thing that is in you, in Christ. But you can't acknowledge what you do not know exists. This is once again where knowledge comes in. You have to know. The church has to give attention to teaching. You have to want to know. These things have been freely given to you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I have been made to sit. I have been made to sit. I'm seated together with Him. I'm seated. I'm seated. I'm seated. I'm seated. I'm seated. Imagine when someone just gets born again and this is at the first set of things we teach them. They will grow faster. Now that I'm born again, what do I do? No, before you want to do, you need to know what has been done. But tell them, what do you want to do? Carry your Bible. Put it here. Come to church. Stay for Bible study. All right, be good. They'll be good. Be good. They will be good, but they will do better when they know what has been done. You know, sometimes it's sweet when, you know, oh, I pray for this person, something happened. I pray for that person, something happened. If you pray for the person this year, same thing. Pray for the person next year. No, no, after a while, the person should say, no, I can handle the topic now. I'm okay. In fact, now I'm praying for other people. Are you getting this thing? You need to know what has been done. And that's where victory lies. But that's where, and these things are simple, isn't it? It's simple. Just what we're using are familiar verses that we all know. But it's for you to stay and say, okay, oh, 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 and it's exciting. I'm like, wow. You know, so I mentioned some minutes ago, you know, some of the ways that we get healed or we receive healing. God has healed us. He's provided healing for us. The Church of Jesus must understand that there's divine healing and then there's divine health. So I'll say that again. The Church of Jesus must understand that there is divine healing and then there's divine health. So what we know about and experience much more is divine healing. You fall ill, you get well. You fall ill, you get well. You fall ill, you get well. So it's divine healing. And divine there already explains the source of the healing. It's that you use your faith or somebody prayed for you and all of that. So it was a divine method. We have medical healing, but then we have divine healing. So, and it's available. But the church must now grow in knowing there is divine health. I don't fall sick. And it is not a statement of pride. Say this with me. I do not believe. Should I make you say it now when I'm almost done? We'll say it by faith. Say, I do not believe in falling sick. Say it again. Say, I don't believe in falling sick. Say it well. Say, I don't believe in falling sick. Like I said, we'll say it by faith, then we'll say it later. I say, ah, falling sick is normal. It's normal. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So we're going to 5, right? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It gets exciting for me here. Now it gets exciting. I can explain the others, but I'm building now. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Are you ready? What's the first word here? Say it again. Say it again. How sure is surely? You sure? You sure? You know when people want to play bet, they say, it's not sure. This is surer than that. And forever, O Lord, your word settle. This is sure. Very sure. Surer than sure bet. You understand? This is sure. Surely, he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Surely, he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let's read a bit more. Verse 6, let's go to maybe 10. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was what? Oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and we declare his generation, for he was cut off from the land of where the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet, it pleased the Lord to do what? Bruise him. He had put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Meaning that when you look at what he suffered for, you say, it was worth it. When would he say it well? When he sees you walking in health. Because he suffered to get you healing. He now says, it was worth it. But if he suffered for all of that and we're all broken and battered and diseased and infirmed and every day, no, we're behaving like he didn't suffer for that. So we're asking again, who will go up into heaven to bring Christ down? No. He's done the work. What is left is the word is near you. So Isaiah is saying, surely he was wounded for our transgression. Surely he was bruised for iniquities. Surely the chastisement of our peace. Surely. Matthew chapter 8. The first verse of Matthew 8. Says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, do what? Make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy cleansed. This is leprosy. It's not headache. It's not asthma. It's not ulcer. This is leprosy. This is a very, very, very serious type of something going on here. And Jesus said, it's my will. He didn't say, oh my, leprosy. Oh my, oh my. Oh wow. I'll pray about it and get back to you. But he gave an answer that is God's will for all men for all time. It is God's will to heal at any point in time. So he healed the man. Let's go to verse 5. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and what? Heal him. One guy said, do you want to heal me? He said, yeah, I will. I don't mind. This guy said, come to my house. I said, okay, I'm going to come. Verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with what? And then he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and went into the kitchen. Because man must eat. I mean, if you are not okay, now you're okay, then proceed. You may be a blessing to the Lord and Master that has entered thy house.
They know, they have a custom of hospitality though. So, there was a leper. Did he heal the leper? There was a centurion servant. Did he heal the centurion servant? There was Peter's mother-in-law. Did he heal the mother-in-law? Then verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed some who were sick. How many? All. Woo! Are you ready? Let's read it again. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. I love verse 17. That it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. When did Isaiah say it? Isaiah 53, verse 4. Let's see that. Then we'll get back here. Verse 4, please. So I want you to see verse 4. Isaiah 53, 4. Thank you. Surely what happened? He bore our griefs and did what? So when you look at it here, what you see won't be sickness and disease. What you'll see, griefs, sorrows. But the word underlining that is what Matthew brought out. Please understand this. Isaiah here speaks by the spirit of prophecy. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrow. And that's good enough. I remember many years ago I stopped singing, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my pain. Oh, shame. Why? Because he said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's appointed me, all right, to appoint to those that mourn in Zion, the oil of joy, you know, the garment of praise against spirit of heaviness. So the person that did the trading was Jesus Christ. Is that not what Isaiah said? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he has appointed me to remove the garment, Spirit of heaviness and put the garment of praise. He has appointed me. I'm only a receiver of what he did. So I'm not trading my sorrow. Someone traded my sorrow. So I come into the joy of the Lord. So what a believer has is love, joy, joy. You don't have sorrow. It's not of you. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So you have to know, what do I have? And stop singing what is not your own. I'm trading. You came to church today, you traded it. Then came again next Sunday, you traded it. Then came the Sunday after that. I thought you traded it 2 Sundays back. Yeah, I'm trading it again. When did you collect it back? But these are songs we all enjoyed, yeah? So, and when I talk like this, I still have to respect the work putting out the songs. So I honor the work. I honor the songs. All right? I'm only saying, because of what I think I see, I would rather not sing that way. I would say, no. Depression is not of me. But I feel it. Yeah, I feel it, but I don't move by what I feel. The day I move by what I feel, the devil will defeat me. And the times I've moved by how I felt, he did defeat me. So I have been defeated. I've seen victory. Victory is sweeter. Let me move away from this guy that will be defeating me. But he will make you feel good. Don't you feel? Don't you feel? I feel. You too, you're feeling. He wants to slaughter you. The guy is, you know, he's trying to catch you. Surely he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Matthew 8:17 again. Or let's do 16 first. Matthew 8:16. When evening was come. Alright? Thank you. When evening had come, they brought to him many that were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Matthew saw Jesus healing people. Boom, boom, boom. Demon, go, go. You know, whether I laid hands, whether I was speaking. He saw that happen. Matthew said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. You just read what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, he bore our griefs, carried our sorrow. Instead of grief and sorrow, Matthew said, he took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. Took sirs, took mas, took my brothers and sisters. Took is not to take. Took is not will take. Took has already been taken. He took my. Took. He took. Matthew stood there and was
This must be what Isaiah said. This is the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. He took. He's watching people who came, you know, and then they were going back healed. And then he said, this is it. He took. And I love the first, you know, phrase there, that it might be fulfilled. So it's not about to be fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. Fulfilled. It's done. He took it. He's not trying to fulfill it. Oh God, fulfill your promise to me and heal me now. No! It was fulfilled. You came into the fulfillment. You don't ask him to fulfill what has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. He took. He took. If I pick this book from off, you know, this lectern or pulpit. Thank you. The book is not there. Why? I took it. So my own sicknesses, my own diseases, your own sicknesses, they've been taken. So when new sickness and diseases come into town, yours can't be there. So you can walk free in the midst of sickness and disease. They say, why are you not afraid? He said, because my own is not there. I can't have what is not mine. My own is not there. 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 Why? Mine was taken. Mine was taken. He took tuberculosis. He took asthma. He took ulcer. He took whatever the names are. He took our infirmities. Took them. Peter now sits back in 1 Peter 2:24. Going again to Isaiah. Peter said, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin would live unto righteousness, by whose stripes? He didn't say we are healed like Isaiah said. Peter says we were. Isaiah was looking at him in the spirit of prophecy and said, oh my goodness, we are healed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, I see it. Someone said if everybody in Jerusalem that was sick that they knew what was happening on the cross, they would have all gotten healed. Because right there in the city where they were, all their sicknesses from all their bodies were being moved over to somebody on the cross. And it wasn't the sickness they had that day, all sickness for all time. All of it. All of it. All of it. All sickness for all time moved on him. He became sin with our sin, yeah? So he became sickness. I mean, sick with our sickness. Became the bore, because Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. God lifted the whole curse upon humanity and placed it on him. And he received it into himself. He that knew no sin became sin. He that knew no sickness became sick. And it was there. When he took sin from us, he gave us his righteousness. Then he took sickness from us. What are we left with? Still sick? The church should fight this thing. The church, you fight this thing. By whose stripes? Peter said. You were. So Isaiah looks at it. Peter was looking from that thing happened some years ago. We're healed now. We're healed now. Sickness, what are you still doing here? You've been taken. So you're not telling the sickness, I know your history. You're not here. They took you. Get out. So you cannot speak from that point of authority. Not, oh God, when are you going to do it? By whose stripes? You were. He took. Don't nurse that thing for another day. All of us look beautiful and handsome. Every day we step out of our homes looking gorgeous. We're hiding sicknesses. Put an end to it. Stop hiding that pain. Stop hiding it. You don't breathe well. You don't eat well. You don't sit well. Something is not right. Don't hide it. Deal with it. Tell it where it belongs. You'll be taken. You'll be taken.
Isaiah said, he took. Matthew said, this is the fulfillment. If Matthew could call something fulfillment, and Jesus at that time had not hung on the cross, what do we say now? Super fulfilled. Fully fulfilled. Finished. Sickness, he carried you, hung you, nailed you. You and I, we don't gel. We don't gel. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. You have to fight it. You have to see that sickness on Jesus. You took it, Lord. This is meditation. You took it, Lord. You took it. You took my infirmities. Carried away this respiratory problem, this knee issue. You took it. You took, Lord. You took. Thank you. You took. You're not saying it and then saying, still there. Say more. You took. No. You took. If you feel that thing for the next 3 months, don't bother. Face where you're going. You took. Oh, in the Old Testament, they disobeyed God and fiery serpents came out and were biting them. You know the story. And Moses said, God, what do we do? He said, make a brazen serpent and tell them whoever looks will live. Guys, snakes are all around you. They said, look at something. You're not blind. You're seeing real snake. You just saw it bite someone, bite another person. It just bit you. Where would you focus? The pain. The snake. God told Moses, tell them, look. It means take your eyes off what seems real to you and put your eyes on what I'm doing. Take your eyes off this thing in front of you. Put your eyes on what I'm doing. And Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 15 said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so will the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. So if you feel like, oh, I'm perishing, no, lift your eyes off that thing. Look at him. He took my infirmities. He carried away my sicknesses. He took my infirmities. He carried away my sicknesses. You have to learn to fight. Listen, we're used to Karabosha Brakadasa. Hey, I'm healed. Hey, in Jesus' name. Hey, woo. Then 4 hours later, you feel the pain. And then the thought comes, what's going on? Why am I not healed? Everything is not lay hands and walk away. You have to initiate this thing. You can't microwave it. You cook it. It means you go to the market to buy the ingredients. Eh? It means you are going to search for the scriptures. You go to the market, Bible market, to go and gather Bible verses. You buy the ingredients. It takes time to buy ingredients. You say, Mama, how much? 50 naira? No, 25 naira. Mama, how much? 5 naira? No, 2 naira. Mama, how much? 8 naira? No, 1 kobo. You have to buy ingredients. Then you now come and process the ingredients. Arrange the scriptures. Start cooking. Meditate. You cook. Joshua took over from Moses. God said, let me teach you what to do. It's got to be day and night, bro. You have to meditate day and night. He didn't say morning and night. Day and night means fill your heart with this thing as often as you can. Run through it through your day. But God, I want to go and win war. I need to take over wealth from Moses. Feed on the word. There's a new generation that doesn't know anything about meditation. They know very little to nothing about it. Oh, just lay hands on me and I'll be fine. Sometimes they lay hands on you, you are fine. 3 days later, the same symptom comes back and the thought will come to you. Was I really healed? No, but the pain has gone. Because you didn't know what to do. Or you knew what to do, you didn't take action. So I have a book here and I'm going to read like 4 pages from it right now. It's Health Food by Kenneth E. Hagin. There's a story there that I like. And once you catch that story, you start learning what to do. And I have another book I'm going to read from here. It's God's Medicine by Kenneth Hagin. Are you ready to listen? All right, so if you're watching or listening, hang on tight. All right, so in case you have, health food, I'm picking from page 87. Please follow me well. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, all right, Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans is a medical doctor who was born and raised in Canada and then moved to the United States. Her mother and father were doctors, and her grandfather had been a medical doctor too. In the mid-40s, Dr. Yeomans practiced medicine in a large New York hospital. She began to take stimulants and narcotics to energize her and eventually became a dope addict. Other complications set in, and medical science of the day gave her up to die. An older gentleman told her about divine healing. She knew something about medical healing, but she had never heard about divine healing. This older gentleman asked her if she wanted him to pray with her. She said, "I'd better pray myself first because I've gotten away from God. I knew God when I was a little girl, but I haven't known him for years." She spent part of the night in prayer and got back on good speaking terms with God. Now, God wasn't keeping malice with her, you understand? She's the one I'm talking to God. Then the older gentleman prayed for her, and she was healed by divine power. Dr. Yeomans then quit her medical practice and spent the rest of her life practicing, preaching, and teaching divine healing. She also became an ordained Assemblies of God evangelist and minister. So it's like a devotional. So I just move to the next page. Dr. Yeomans and her sister were both doctors and had a beautiful home in Southern California. Actually, a two-story mansion, which they turned into a faith home. They would take patients into their home to get them healed by divine power, not by medicine. They would only handle 4 patients at a time because Dr. Yeomans traveled and taught most of the time. Her sister, Amy Yeomans, was the one who took care of the patients. What did they do to get people healed? They simply taught them from the Word of God. It wasn't the Holy Ghost initiating anything such as a gift of the Spirit. I repeat, it was not the Holy Ghost initiating anything such as the gift of the Spirit. Now, you know the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But it's not manifesting every day of the time. And then a believer could lay hands on a fellow believer, but you might not have a believer around you to lay hands on you. So this is saying you can get it done by yourself, no matter how critical the condition is. Please keep listening. Thank you. All right. So the people were healed by initiating their own healing on the basis of their faith in the Word of God. In Dr. Yeoman's day, tuberculosis was the number 2 killer in America. As soon as a patient was healed, the next applicant, because you have to apply, there's no space in the house, the next applicant would be notified to come in as a patient if he or she hadn't already died. Yeah, because they were dealing with critical conditions. All right, if he or she hadn't already died, because these people were all terminal cases. One particular woman who had tuberculosis, was brought in and carried to an upstairs bedroom. Dr. Yeoman sat by her bedside and said to her, "Please listen. Just fold your hands and close your eyes and lie there. Relax and listen." Then she read to her from the Bible. Next devotion, next day here. Dr. Yeomans had every scripture on the subject of divine healing marked in her Bible. That means she has gone to the market. She had every scripture on divine healing marked in her Bible. For 2 hours, she sat next to this woman who had tuberculosis and read those healing scriptures to her. At the end, she read Deuteronomy 28 and Galatians chapter 3. She read them over and over again. Then she just read Deuteronomy 28 verse 61 and Galatians 3:13. Dr. Yeomans told the woman, "Every waking moment," meaning as long as you're awake, right? "Every waking moment, say, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, sickness and disease is a curse of the law. Tuberculosis is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have TB. The woman said, "But I don't understand it." Listen, please. Dr. Yeoman said, "That's all right. You just say what I told you to say." The woman began saying, "According to Deuteronomy 28:61, TB is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have TB. The next morning, Dr. Yeomans and her sister fed their patients breakfast. Then Dr. Yeomans asked this particular woman if she had been saying what she told her to say. She said, "Oh, it seemed like I didn't get but 10 minutes of sleep last night. I must have said it 10,000 times. But it doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I don't understand it." Dr. Yeoman said, "That's all right, honey. You just keep saying it over and over every waking moment. If people would..." Now, this is Kenny Hagin talking. "If people would work at receiving divine healing like they ought to, it would work for them. But so many times they only do it half-heartedly, and then they go on thinking about something else. In that case, it won't work for them. They have to get down to business." You understand that? This is serious business. Well, he keeps going. "On the third day, Dr. Yeomans went to this woman's room again and read scriptures on the subject of healing to her for a solid hour. Then Dr. Yeomans said, 'Are you still saying what I said you should say?' She said, 'Oh, yes. But it still doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I'm not getting anything out of it.' Dr. Yeomans said, again to her, 'Keep saying it.' About 10 a.m. that same day, Dr. Yeomans and her sister were downstairs washing the breakfast dishes when they heard someone upstairs shouting. They heard running footsteps, so they rushed out into the hall, all right? And there was the woman who had come in only 2 days before. She was rushing down the stairways yelling, 'Dr. Yeomans, did you know I no longer have TB?' She said, 'Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that for 3 days.'" So Hagin ends by saying, "You see, it got down into her spirit. That's when God's word works for you. God's word never fails. The woman initiated healing for herself." So when we tell folk, "Do this thing 2 hours, do this thing 3 hours," you confess by stress I'm healed, you go to Instagram. Yes or no? Listen. It works for protection. It works for provision. It works. You have to program this thing. Takes time. Brother Copeland said they traveled, to the Middle East. And where they stayed was, there was like, they were like shooting and, throwing missiles and all just across the border. She said she had a sound sleep. If you know Barakrupa, you know she must have settled it in herself. Psalm 91. But she has a book on Psalm 91. But the church would always run here and there because we're not giving attention to what really matters. There's no truth outside of God's word. Everything on the news is not always true. There's too much propaganda out there. Everything on social media is deception and lies and packaging. Maybe not everything anyway. A lot of it. And then you spend your life there. And you don't give attention to the soundness of God's word. You can initiate this thing by yourself. I hope this is helping somebody. I remember I prayed for a lady a number of years ago. She wasn't feeling well, so I walked into the room where she was. And I prayed with her, and, she got better, a bit. But I told her, go into another room. I gave her Matthew 8:17, explained what she should do. 5 minutes later, I saw her gisting with other people. I said, "What's up?" She said, "I'm done." I said, "You can't be done." She said, "But I feel good." I said, "But you can't be done." Have you meditated before? Sometimes it's an initial burst of energy it gives you. So you think, okay. Carry your digger, keep digging. You keep digging till there's a gusher. You keep digging till you see sickness and say, "I can hug you and nothing will happen to me." Did you hear me? You keep digging. You keep digging that even coughing blood from your mouth won't move you. And you're not doing, I'm okay by a strong head faith. No, you just know. I'm okay. I'm not talking of atmospheric faith or general assembly faith. I'm talking of you sat down to dig your well by yourself. Paul says, "I'm not hearing from God. I don't hear clearly from God. Go to the market. gather the scriptures. I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. I will instruct. Go to the market. Day and night. Start cooking. But I'm busy. If you're too busy to help your spiritual destiny, you're too busy for yourself. And it's not even spiritual. Listen, Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it will flow the issues of life. There's prosperity in you. There's healing in you. There's protection in you. I'm not saying around you. I chose my words carefully. There's no believer that is not supernaturally protected. Has He not made His angels spirits? Has He not given them to us who are heirs of salvation? You don't lack an angel, at least. And then sometimes you're the most terrified of all people with all the protection. It's a lack of settling in our hearts what the Word has said to us. So I'm reading God's Medicine by Kenny Hagin also. I'm reading chapter 3. God's Medicine, : to be applied from the heart. So I read quickly. God's medicine, like all His provisions, salvation for instance, is to be believed and applied from the heart, the spirit. What often happens, though, is this. People read certain promises. Perhaps they can even quote them, and they endeavor to act upon them without really getting them into their spirits. It's more of their head than in their heart. Or it's more in their head than in their heart. I always do it this way. I don't pray about some things just right away. For example, in March of 1952, I was in a meeting in Texas City, Texas. Pat, our daughter, was a little girl at that time. She had developed a growth, not a star, but a growth of some kind near her eye. Before I left home to travel to the city of Texas meeting, I laid hands on her and prayed. But when my wife wrote me on Monday, the growth was still there. She wrote, Pat wants to know, please follow the question. Pat wants to know what to tell the nurse when she comes around to check next Monday. Once a month, a nurse came around to the grade schools and checked their eyes and ears, etc. Pat knew that when the nurse found or not, she would ask if she had, we had taken her to the doctor, and we hadn't. So all Pat wanted to know was, what am I going to tell the nurse? I received the letter on Tuesday, and I knew I had a little time before I had to answer her. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday before the nurse comes. Are you following this now? All right, so I had enough time, all right, before I answered her. I pushed it out of my mind until after the evening service because I was preaching, so my attention wouldn't be divided. That night, after the service, I returned to my hotel, listened to the news from 10 to 10:15, turned off the radio. And at 10:15, I picked up my Bible and said to myself, I am going to read the Bible for an hour on the subject of healing. I dare say I could have quoted 90% of all the verses in the Bible on the subject of healing. They were all marked in my Bible, but I started, did you get that? He could quote it, but he still read it. But I started with the book of Genesis and read these verses very slowly, right on down through the New Testament. At 11:15, I closed my Bible, turned off the light, and said, I am going to lie here an hour and meditate on these scriptures. Dr. Roy Hicks points out that one meaning of the word meditate in the Old Testament is to mutter. That's what I did. There in the nighttime in the bed, I muttered. Then the night time, I muttered on these scriptures to myself. At 12:15, I said to myself, I'm going to sleep for an hour. Then I'm going to wake up and meditate on these scriptures an hour. Then I'll sleep an hour. Then I'll wake up and meditate an hour until morning. Sleep on an hour, meditate one hour. Sleep on an hour, meditate one hour. Sleep on an hour, meditate one hour until morning. That is a lot of cooking. And it's not for himself. And I did that. The Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. Your body needs rest and sleep, but really your spirit doesn't. I have an alarm on the inside of me. I just said to my spirit, I'm going to sleep an hour. And in an hour, my spirit awakened me. Note. Then I would meditate on these scriptures on healing for an hour. What I needed right then was healing for my daughter. There was no use in my meditating on anything else. No use in thinking about scriptures that promise finances. Are you getting focus here? You're cooking fried rice, cook fried rice. Don't mix it with ogbono. All right, now watch this. If a man will say you're doing healing, stay with healing, don't mix finance. What happens to you doing healing and mixing with Instagram? Are you getting what we do to ourselves here? Yeah? Even Arsenal match, turn it off. Listen, your heart is a ground. Everything is a seed. When you need focus, focus. Focus and get the healing you want and get it quick. Or get the finance you want and get whatever it is you want. Get it quick. What I needed right then was healing for my daughter. There was no use in my meditating on anything else. No use in thinking about scriptures that promise finances. That was not what I needed right then. I did that right on through the night. And the next night, I did the same thing. So night number two. After the news, I picked up my Bible, read through the scriptures on divine healing slowly. Meditated an hour, slept an hour, meditated an hour, slept an hour, right on through the second night. Then on Thursday afternoon, I wrote my wife and said, hear the answer, please. In the letter you wrote me Monday, you said Pat wanted to know what to tell the nurse. I didn't tell her what to tell the nurse. You see, I had taken the word of God, built it into my spirit, and I didn't go on what I knew about it in my head. I wrote, you tell Pat that Daddy said she is healed. Who got that? The question is, what should she tell the nurse? Telling the nurse, and sometimes you focus faith in the wrong place. So what do I tell them? What you tell them doesn't solve what's happening in your life. And my daddy said she tell you that I'll be okay soon. Doesn't make you okay. So rather than focus on what to tell them, focus on your heart and use that to change what's happening to you. You won't be thinking of what to tell them again. Who got this? Stop focusing on what to tell them. Build yourself. You tell Pat that Daddy said she's healed. And I know in my heart that she's healed. Just as well as I know in my head that 2 plus 2 is 4. And 3 plus 3 is 9. And that's all I wrote about it. You've got to know God's word in your spirit. That's real faith. Just like you know other things in your head. My wife told me later that when she got the letter, read it, then put it aside until Pat came from school. Pat was outside playing dolls, you know, when my wife remembered the letter and called her in. Pat, you got a letter from Daddy. And here's what he said. You tell Pat that Daddy said she's healed. I know in my heart that she's healed just as well as I know my name. I know in my head that 2 plus 3 is 4 and 3 plus 3 is 9. My wife said, Pat stood there a minute as if she was thinking about it. Then she said, if Daddy says so, it's so. And she turned around and school hopped outside again to play. By Monday, the growth had disappeared. It was gone. She didn't have to tell the nurse anything. And I never did answer that question. Get the word of God. God's medicine. Build it into your spirit. I think I could pause it. I could keep reading. But I think it's okay. Learn something? Sure. So someone is asking, what's the title of the book? God's Medicine. It's a very tiny book by Kenneth Hagin. And this is Health Foods. Kenneth Hagin. It's a devotional strictly on health. Imagine chewing that every day. Especially when you're dealing with something. You read like 5-10 pages every day. Shut down every other thing. You have to learn to give attention to what really matters. We give too much distraction to ourselves. We're even in church. And while in church, we've browsed away. Too many distractions that are not called for. So we raise a generation. Oh, we say, oh, it's a tech generation. Yeah, but it's a generation that is lacking spiritual values. Even the tech they use, they didn't build it. If you understand what I'm saying, it came from a previous generation and then, yeah, they could improve on it. But the tech should not be a distraction. It should be an advantage. This is tech working right here. We're streaming. That's tech. It should be an advantage. Oh, we must get the word of God. Put it in our hearts. Get the word. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Take the word of God. Plant it. Like I said earlier, I'll say it again. Go to the market. Buy the ingredients. Even if it was, my pastor said, use your Google and search. Type the things your pastor said. Find the verses. Go to the Bible yourself. Read it yourself. Find where it is. Give attention to healing. Give attention to healing. Give attention to healing. Stop packaging the thing. There are many things we don't see. Oh, you have a pain in your head. Pain in your gum. Pain somewhere at the back of your eyes. He took your infirmities. He carried away your sicknesses. He took your infirmities. He carried away your sicknesses. He took your infirmities. He carried away your sicknesses. He took your infirmities. He carried away your sicknesses. Everything I've said now, I've not done a minute. Can we do 1 minute together? Are you ready? Matthew 8:17, please. Matthew 8:17. Thank you. I love you. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying what? Himself. I like, this is New King James. He didn't send an angel. He himself took our infirmities. He himself carried our sicknesses. He took my infirmities. We could do a minute, right? 1 minute. Are you ready? Hold on. Hold on. Let's go. He took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. Jesus took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. Don't say after me. Just say on your own. Took my infirmities. You could even personalize and say, you, Jesus, took my infirmities. You carried away my sicknesses. You took my infirmities. You carried away my sicknesses. You might want to touch some part of your body, or just, if whatever, you took this infirmity. You carried it away. Whatever you want to do, just a minute. I just want to show you something. Just a minute. You took my infirmities. You took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. You took my infirmities. You took my infirmities. You carried away my sicknesses. You took my infirmities. You took my infirmities. You took my infirmities. Those of you watching, please, and listening, don't lose this part. Don't lose us here. Let's stick together. You took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. You took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. You took my infirmities. Amen. Praise God. No, we'll do 5 minutes now. Just wanted to show you what 1 minute looks like. Was it looking long? For some, maybe. For some, long. So Hagin said he did it for 1 hour. This is 1 minute. So it means you do 60 of it to make 1 hour. Alright? And at times you do 2 hours. You do 3. I remember I was pastoring in Abeokuta many years ago. And then there was this thing happening in my ear. So I realized that I'm listening to you. Suddenly I can't hear you very well with one ear. And then I can hear you well. So I realized when I pull down my earlobe, I hear better. So I'm listening to you, and then I can't hear, then I pull it down, then I hear you. You know all the thoughts that start coming. There's a growth in your head. It hasn't grown for a while. It's now growing till it's blocking. You know, very many thoughts that come. And then you're battling the thoughts, and then I'm a preacher. I'm teaching people. And I've taught divine health. I've walked in divine health since 1996 when God taught me Matthew 17. I mean, okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me asking someone to pray with me or agree with me or, you know, someone that might have a healing anointing. All that is not wrong. Please use it when you have it available. Don't now say, I'll use the word. Sometimes before you finish cooking the thing, the matter is going. Do you understand? Let someone quickly jumpstart the thing for you, but don't rest on that. Now you're healed, then go and stabilize it because this thing might come in another way. Oh, it's ovarian cyst. Oh, is this in your back? Oh, is this? Oh, is, oh, and I know we put an end to it. Do you understand? So that was going on with me. And it went on for, I can't recall right now, that was about 2000 and maybe four or five or something. And then one day I sat in the room
And I started seeing pictures of myself, you know, maybe in a meeting, there's someone here, you're deaf in 1 year, come out. Then I'm coming out. Once again, there's nothing wrong with it. But I said to myself, you know too much for that to happen to you. Deal with this thing now. It could get worse. So I picked up right there in the room. I was staying, you know, then with the current pastor, you know, pastor now of the church. But I was staying in his, you know, room there. And I did about an hour sitting on the bed. I know what happens when you're too comfortable. Your eyes are closing. I said, it's a matter of life and death. I got up. We're staying in where they call Quarry Road in Abeokuta. And then I took a cab to church. It was Akuto. Locked myself in. And I fired on for the next 4 hours. By the time I was done, I didn't need to check my ear. It was gone. Sometimes it takes longer than that. Some time ago, I was sneezing, you know. Like, went on for 2 days. I tell my wife, if I want this thing to go, I know what to do. So why am I allowing it? So I went into the study. Gathered scriptures. Just looked through them. In the name of Jesus. By the next morning, it was gone. You know, like someone that is snuffing something. And then sometimes, I don't care. You know, you enjoy those things. You say, you're playing with something. Stop it. He took your infirmities. Why should I have what he took? Why should I have what he died for? You know, and we're too easy on sickness. No, kick the thing out. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the... He took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. Can we do 5 minutes? Time is almost up. You just borrow me like 5 more minutes or something. Count to 5 minutes. Are you ready? Now, this is what you can do. You have your water, then your vegetable oil, and then the other condiments you need, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, is a healing scripture. Christ in you. He that raised up Jesus from the dead is a healing scripture. Did you get that now? In fact, that I'm a new creation, all things have passed away, is a healing scripture. So it's not until they write H-E-A-L-I-N-G on it. So it could start with 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes I've been healed. By his stripes I've been healed. By his stripes. But don't try and combine too many things. I got to round up now. But I just want to give you 5 minutes. So we'll do it together here. Then we're out of here. Are you ready? Can I give you 5? Go. Once again, if you're feeling drowsy, if you're here or you're watching, don't let yourself fall into it. Please. It's a practice. It's a practice. Because you're going to learn to do this thing. You get back home, you park your car, and say, I'm going to do it for 10 minutes before I go in. I'm going to do it for 5 minutes before I eat dinner. I'm not going to touch Instagram or fake. No, it's tomorrow. Anything I want to check now. Tomorrow, you know, except I want to post and walk away. And some of us don't have that discipline yet. Move and stop scrolling. I have something to meditate on. If it's prosperity, you want to walk on. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. God makes all grace abound. And you're chewing it for 1 hour. Chewing it for 15 minutes. Chewing it for 25 minutes. But let me not distract you on that. Let's stay on health. Life is in me. Life is in me now. Life is in me. Life is in me now. It's in me. It's in me now. It's in me. It's in me now. It's in me. Eternal life is in me now. Now, 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 now. He took my infirmity. Took my infirmities. He took. What he took, I don't have anymore. He took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. Took my infirmities. Carried away my sicknesses. Took my infirmities. It's not prayer, so don't pray. It's meditation. It's not the same as prayer. I know sometimes you might be energized by doing karabobobobo. Drive it back. Go keep talking the word. It's meditation. It's not prayer. It's just speaking the word. Speak the word. Sometimes you even speak it quietly. To mutter. It's just to say quietly to yourself. Remember that woman. Tuberculosis is almost going to die. But she kept saying it. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, she didn't get it. Glory to God. Let me get quiet a bit. Got 3 more minutes. Let me just get quiet on. Thank you, Lord. 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 You took. You took. 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 Thank you, Lord. You took. You took. Thank you, Lord. Took. Thank you, Lord. He took. Took my infirmities. Took my infirmities. Took my infirmities. Thank you, Lord. Carried away my sicknesses. Took. Took. Jesus himself. Took. And it's been fulfilled. He took my infirmities. 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 You took. Your mind drives. Don't bother. Bring your mind back. Your mind goes to traffic or food. Bring it back. No problem. Took my infirmities. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Took every pain, every weakness, every pain. Taken. 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 The pain is not mine. Pain is not mine. Took. Took my infirmities. Took. No more covering it up anymore. Took. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus took my infirmities. Jesus carried away my sicknesses. Jesus took my infirmities. Jesus carried away my sicknesses. Jesus took my infirmities. Jesus carried away my sicknesses. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. I'm made whole. I'm healed. I'm made whole. I'm healed. I'm made whole. Every weight whole. Every part of me whole. Whole. Whole in my head. Whole in my back. Whole in my knee. Whole in my arms. Whole in my hand. Whole everywhere. Whole. 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 I'm healed. I'm made whole. By His wounds I've been healed. I'm made whole. By His wounds I've been healed. I'm made whole. By His wounds I've been healed. 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 It's already done. Healed. I'm made whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I need to cut those 5 minutes off. How was that? Whoosh. 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 Those of us here, those of us watching or listening, I keep saying listening, we have this audio platform, Spreaker, so people are listening too. And would listen later. Give attention to these things. If there's something you're dealing with, focus on it. It might have come for years. The end has come. Alright? Because Jesus has sorted it already. So you are now initiating this thing and settling it. Alright? Settling it. And see the two instances. One was something around the eye before 3 days. Sorted. Another was tuberculosis. 3 days of intensity. Sorted. Every weekend is not for ho and bear. That language should not enter the church. If it has, kick it out. Alright? Every weekend is not for ho and bear. Saturdays are not for ho and bear. If there's a party you need to go, go. But if there's something you need to work on, sit at home, lock yourself up. If it's prosperity, settle it. Doesn't mean a millionaire will come to your doorstep the next day, but your heart will be settled. That I will never be broke another day in my life. You settled it. If it's on spouse, God, the Lord is my shepherd, I cannot lack. Spouse, as long as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Is open-ended. And then, thank you, Lord, because I do not lack a mate. I do not lack a spouse. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And stop doing, watch your words. I'd rather stay unmarried than marry him. Don't talk like that. Marriage, is not important to me right now. You know it is. Stop saying those things. You are countering your own confessions. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack a mate.
The Lord my shepherd, I do not lack a good home. I'm settled happily in a good marriage right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. He leads me into. He makes me lie down in green pastures. A marriage that is a green pasture. He leads me beside still water. It's a relationship that will be still water, not troubled. The Lord is my shepherd. You cook it. You cook the thing. We have to train a new generation on meditation. Day and night. Oh, glory to God. I have to hear, please, alright? Get the audio, watch the video again and again. And if you want to, you could now play from the very last part of it again and again, then go back to the beginning later. Do what you want to do with it. It's available on YouTube, videos on Facebook, Spreaker is available. I know it's be on the website soon, maybe by tomorrow or maybe tonight. But maybe tomorrow, check tomorrow. Please, alright? Glory to God. Are you glad you came here today? Alright, praise God. Next date of the meeting next date of the next meeting, March 21st. Sunday evening, March 21st. Let's just start marking calendars and moving on. So if you can be here physically, please, if you can, stream. It's fantastic. I believe things happen to those streaming also, so we're going to have a great time. Amen? So March 21st, Sunday evening also, 5 to 7, we'll be here. If you do not follow me on YouTube, or you've not subscribed, rather, to the channel, please subscribe. All right? There's this new video series I began, about 30 minutes of teaching. It's called Word Up. All right? There are two videos already on faith. All right? Solid stuff. Real stuff. All right? It's there. We're going to start teaching about the life of God from this new week. About 3 episodes of that. So don't miss it. Don't 2 or 3. All right? On that, you know, we've done the videos. So just uploading them, you know, as each week goes on. So please, Lion Rex and Osea, YouTube, subscribe. All right? And Instagram for a lot of short bites of word and all of that. Please subscribe. Let's get on God's word. Amen. All right? If you'd love to partner, I believe there's an information deck somewhere at the back. You want to know more about the ministry. There's also an information stand there. You want to ask questions. You could visit the website, lionrexandosnia.com. Phone, so it's fine. But if you need an envelope, let the ushers get to you, and then praise God. But can we stand to our feet, if you don't mind? Now, actually, I should allow us to sit and finish giving, but we could stand. It's fine. So I think they will miss hands that way, but just raise your hand. The ushers will see you better. They'll see you better if we're still sitting. Pardon me for that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So would you give God's word more attention? Would you give God's word more attention? Alright, so please, let's make it a date next month, physical or online, whatever it is, follow all the platforms, I'm going to have a great time. Now, say with me, I do not believe in falling sick. Is it easier to say now? So when the symptoms come, something that Kenneth Copeland taught us very many years ago, you are not the sick trying to be healed. You are the healed protecting your health. So don't see yourself as, no, I don't believe in this, I'm going to fight it off. Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, and he has. I'm healed and made whole. I'm healed and made whole. I'm healed and made whole. Lift your hands, thank him on that tonight. I'm healed and made whole. 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 Whole means whole, guys. Whole means whole. I'm healed and made whole. I'm healed and made whole. You watching, listening, go ahead, join us as we round up right now. I'm healed and made whole. I'm healed and made whole. I'm healed and made whole. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I am healed and made whole. 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 I am whole, 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 whole. I'm healed. Healed and made whole. Healed. My eyes, my head, my back, my legs, my knees. And then in within you, your intestines, your lungs, everywhere. healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. You have running tummy. You eat and then the whole, you are healed. You are healed. You speak to it. Healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. Healed and made whole. Sickness and disease, we come against you. We come against you in the name of Jesus. We declare that you are gone. 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 Gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. That pain in the back. That pain in the belly. Gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. He took our infirmities. He carried our sicknesses. We refuse to take what he has taken. We refuse to carry what he carried. We are healed and made whole. 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 Glory to God. He took our infirmities. Carried away our sicknesses. No more. No more. No more parleying with sickness. It's an enemy. It's an oppression of the devil. We are healed and made whole. We are healed and made whole. We are healed and made whole. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Please remember what Higgins said. Don't try to act on faith with just mental knowledge. Alright? Don't throw away glasses and just feel I'm okay. If you need to keep your medications, continue. Taking your medications doesn't disturb your faith. The way or when it disturbs faith is because you are taking medications, you now relax your faith. Because the doctor said you'll be okay in 2 days, you now relax your confession. That's when you allow it to affect you. But the doctor can do his job, you take your medications, you do whatever else they told you to do, but you're going on with the word. You now realize that you are recovering faster than they expected. Things are working faster than they thought. And when the thing tries to come again, you now know what to do. You didn't get that. I love you. Thank you for coming.